We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are so thankful that you have taken time to tune in to this broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God. By the way, if you haven't given a shout out to WMIE and called them or sent them a note and said thank you for having Christian teaching on the air, why don't you take time to do that? Their phone number is 632-1000. You can call them and leave them a voicemail. I will tell you, encouragement never hurts. Encouragement never hurts. A few weeks ago, I had a conversation. Nobody really knew about that conversation. It happened in the middle of an afternoon, and it was a less than encouraging conversation for a pastor. Let me just put it to you that way. It wasn't the worst conversation that I've ever had, but it wasn't the most encouraging conversation that I had ever had. And so I just continued to press on and been doing this for a long time, and so see things like that. But what happened was that, unbeknownst to me, the Holy Spirit was working behind the scenes, and people that I didn't, that had no awareness of, you know, what I was going through that day or anything like that, I got an email that was greatly encouraging, and that was followed up by a text message that basically said, Pastor, you know, I don't really know what you're going through today, but God's had you on my heart, and so I've been praying for you and can't wait to see you on Sunday. And so I said, praise God, I got two for the price of one. Two words of encouragement for one word of discouragement, and two is better than one, and so I was very thankful for that. I do want to let you know that God has been doing some really wonderful things at Merritt Assembly of God. We're thankful that our youth and children's pastors are back, and they're supposed to be with us on Sunday, so we're glad about that. We're going to give them a weekend to regain their stability and get everything back in working order that they need. About a month or so ago, we had a man who was diagnosed with a 4-millimeter kidney stone. That's about a quarter of an inch. It's a pretty good sized stone, and very hard, very, very painful. And we went in and prayed for him. At the hospital, the doctors had the pictures of it. They went in, they did the surgery, they couldn't find the stone. So then a couple of weeks after that, our intercessors were gathering for prayer on Sunday morning before the service, and one of the men came in, and he also was battling kidney stones. And so before they prayed for our service, I took the opportunity to pray over him. And as soon as I prayed, he said, Pastor, thank you for praying. That was an absolutely anointed prayer. And he felt better. He rested that day, went for follow-up tests the next day, and the kidney stone that was there wasn't there any longer. And I wish I could say that we see, you know, that sort of immediate results with every prayer that we pray. But, sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes doctors are used in the process. It's, and then you throw in the healing that I had with my shoulder. And, we've just seen some wonderful testimonies of healing that have come to pass. And so we wanted to share those with you, because we do believe that God answers prayer. We're not anti-medicine. We just have a great physician that we like to call on when man's medical technology hasn't matured to the place where it can deal with a problem. We still believe that God can. And so that's where we are. And so all you doctors out there, we say thank you for putting in the time and the effort, sacrifice that you've made in order to bring healing to our bodies. And so that's some of the stuff that's been going on at Merit Assembly of God. We'd like to invite you to our services this coming Sunday. 9:30 is Sunday school. Worship is at 10:30. And we would more than love to have you. Don't forget that Duke Matlock is going to be with us later on in the month on August the 27th, 9 a.m. to noon, a Mornings Matter growth workshop. And then he will be preaching on August the 28th as well. So we're going to get back into Isaiah chapter 30 today. Isaiah chapter 30. And I'm going to begin reading today in verse number 8 and share with you. I believe that this chapter is a very, very pertinent chapter to what we are dealing with in America right now. When there's two candidates who are very hostile towards religious liberty, maybe three candidates and out of the four that I'm aware of, I know of four major candidates that are being talked about with a great deal of frequency. There's probably more candidates that are going to show up, but three of them are openly hostile towards people of faith and the religious liberties and the principles of God's word. And I've been challenging our church, let's not make this about personalities. Let's make it about principle. Let's make it about policy. And so I'm going to take you to Isaiah chapter 30. And as I'm reading this and teaching from this today, we're going to start off with the reality that they were in. And then between this broadcast and next week's broadcast, we're going to talk about the alternative, the better alternative that God has for us. And so Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 8, it says, "Now go write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. For this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" Okay, so listen to verse number 10 again. "Who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" So Isaiah was commanded by God to write this on a scroll so that they could have it for all future time. And in verse number 9, it says, "Write down, this is a rebellious people. This is a rebellious people." And that means that it is people who will not do what God has told them to do. And so it's oftentimes very easy for us to point at people who rebel against whatever we have said or whatever a government has said. I found it very interesting that when it comes to federal funding, by the way, we receive no federal funds at Merit Assembly of God. We have found that God being our provider is our greatest resource. We don't apply for federal grants. We don't want federal grants because we know that with those grants come strings, and sometimes people get into office and they want to pull those strings in a direction that we don't want to go. And so we have made a deliberate choice not to be addicted to government grants and federal funds and things like that, because we don't want to be pulled in a direction that would be contrary to God's word. In Russia right now, they have implemented some very harsh laws where the communicating of the gospel is limited to church structures. And get this, It has to be a church structure that is owned. It can't be rented. If you rent a facility, then they can still tell you you can't talk about faith here. Now, I think that there's probably a couple of different motives that they have in doing that, but they have made it blanket across the board so that the it's basically harder to communicate the gospel. You will find that whenever rebellion is in someone's heart, they will always make it harder for you to proclaim the gospel and to confront rebellion with the alternative of godly obedience. Now, rather than just making it about other nameless, faceless, faraway people, one of the things that I challenged our church several weeks ago with was this. Are there areas in our life where we are hoping against hope that what God's word says about a certain area of our life is not going to pertain to us? And so that could be about being a faithful steward with God's finances. It could be about being a steward of the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body that has been entrusted to you. And so I encourage you, the fidelity of your relationships. There are people, when I was in school that said this, I know that other people have had unplanned pregnancies, but that won't happen to me until it happened to them. I know that other people have contracted diseases because they did things, but their systems weren't my system. It won't happen to me. Listen, you and I, we need to analyze our hearts, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit, are there any areas of our life that are in rebellion to God's word? Because if so, we are going to find ourselves dealing with negative ramifications that we do not want and shouldn't deal with. So, I'm not here just speaking to you from an ivory tower and saying, I'm speaking from experience. I still to this day deal with some bad decisions on a cosmic scale. They're probably not the worst decisions that have ever been made, but they were decisions that I wish I had known the word of God better so that I would have made better decisions instead of still dealing with those problems, decades after the fact. So ask the Holy Spirit to check your heart, see if there's any unclean thing in you, if there's any rebellious people. It goes on in verse number 9, and it says that they are lying children. They are lying children. We are responsible for the culture that we create. And so right now there is an extreme inclination in our society to deceit. There's an inclination in our society to just flat out bold-faced lie and thinking that there is not going to be any consequence to it. And I want you to know, we to a large extent control that environment. If someone lies to you, it is actually not just a flaw in their character. When it has happened to you over and over and over again, now it begins to reveal a crack in the foundation of your own life where you are enabling and empowering people to lie to you. We're in a society that wants to hear what we want to hear, not necessarily what is the truth. And so you and I, we need to create a culture of honesty and truth-telling. A couple of Sundays ago, I was preaching on truth and how society is redefining truth, and we need to take them on a journey. You can't just point to the Word of God anymore because society just deems that another book, another archaic expression of philosophy, and so they've changed and redefined or attempted to redefine and invalidate biblical truth. Society no longer believes in absolute truth. They don't believe that there's any consequence to lying, because if they did, then they wouldn't lie. You know, I remember when I was growing up, once I discovered the consequences of an action, I tried not to duplicate that action because the consequences were pretty painful. But in a day and time where there is no one willing to hold anyone accountable to the principles of God's word, then lying takes prevalence. I tell you this, parents teach their children to lie for the most part. Not always. Some, you know, bad company corrupts good character. And so if they're hanging out with people who are lying, you know, they can pick it up from other places. If the devil has more influence than God, his native language is deceit. So lying is going to become part of their nature as well. But for the most part, if we are saying, don't lie to me, at the same time that we are lying, we are creating a culture where our children are going to do what we do, not what we say. And, you know, with this being primary season and all of that, politicians will they're out there. I heard of a candidate who had been eliminated from the presidential race, and he literally said this: I knew that I had to tell my followers things that weren't true in order to get them to do what I needed them to do. And that person's not in the race anymore. And I was like, and people were telling me that this person was one of the more principled. He wasn't the candidate that I was supporting, but it, you know, they were saying this person is very pragmatic, was a word that was used about him. And yet he came out and said, you know, I basically had to lie to people in order to get them to follow me. We have, in doing so, we have created a culture of liars. Well, don't call me a liar. Listen, I'm only here proclaiming the word of God. And so, you know, if there's politicians that are out there lying, guess what? When they get empowered and someone comes to testify before Congress, do you realize that it is a felony in order to lie and for a person to lie to Congress? There is no consequence for politicians to lie to us, but there is severe consequences for people who lie to Congress or to lie to a court. And so judges come up for confirmation hearings and they misrepresent or they make their record of little standing. And so we need to realize that there needs to be a sanctuary in a society that is so used to lying and being lied to. The Christians are supposed to be people who walk in the truth. And I've got a major study that I've tried to do and then concise it down to one Sunday morning service a few weeks ago. And let me tell you, I was on rapid fire just trying to get all of the information that was in there, because we don't need to just know the truth. We don't just need to speak the truth. We need to have the truth dwelling in us and walking it out on a daily basis. That truth is a mark of distinction for you and I. It is the truth that Jesus lives inside of us, but it is also the truth, the authority of an authentic life where the person that we are and the message that we proclaim is the exact same message. I can pick up on things in the atmosphere from a great deal of distance away because they are foreign to my nature. And so, you know, if it's a scent, I can pick up on a scent that is not it's not normal to my atmosphere. I can pick up on it because it's not my routine. I can pick up on a taste that other people are not sensitive to because it's not something that my taste buds are accustomed to. People in a culture of deceit need to see that you and I are living out the truth, that we are speaking the truth, not out of blindness, but with sound mental faculties, that we are speaking the truth in love, and we are speaking it because it's the life that we live. It says that there are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. It's not that they can't hear, they don't hear it. The Bible said that in the last days there would be days where there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. No problem with God speaking, just a people who refuse to hear the law of the Lord. And they will then begin to dictate to the church. They will dictate to the men and women of faith. They will dictate to the pastors. Listen, people who refuse to hear have got to treat the messenger of truth as the enemy in order for their lie to continue to be propagated. That's straight out of the Word of God. They treat the messengers of God with hostility because they refuse to hear, and they are greatly offended by anybody who challenges them with the facts. And so listen to what it says, who say to the seers, do not see. In other words, they want to say to the church, don't have a vision. Don't pay attention to what's going on. You just continue over there rocking yourself to sleep in your own little spiritual world behind the four walls of your church. Don't worry about all of this chaos and deceit and destruction that is going on out here. We'll deal with that. Y'all just continue to stay in your boxes. Is there anybody that is desperate to know what God has in store for our day and time, which is greater than what the devil has in store for our day and time? I encourage you, get into your prayer closet, get into the Word, find out what God's purpose for your life is, what His direction for you is, what His calling for you is, and He will equip you to do that. Find out what God is seeing in our day and time and what He wants you and I to do about it. So one of the things that I do is if someone points out a problem is, okay, you have seen the problem. What is a solution that we could do to resolve that solution or to resolve that dilemma, that problem? You know, because if you see it, then you need to be looking, you need to be praying, you need to be asking God for the vision that is going to remedy the difficulty that you are seeing. I guarantee you this, if you are at work, if you find a problem, and you actually bring that to somebody's attention and say, how can we solve this problem? It will cause you to be seen with greater esteem in the workplace than somebody who's just going around complaining all of the time. So if you see something that's on the lawn or in the floor at work, just reach out, reach down there and pick it up. I guarantee you, it's not going to kill you. It won't bite you. It's not beneath you to pick up something and throw it away. And you do that enough times, and I guarantee you that people will notice. And listen, it didn't just stop with the visionaries. It says, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us the right things. Do not prophesy. Don't speak to us. Now, you have to understand, a prophet's responsibility was not just telling the future. You know, that's a very small part of it. A prophet's primary responsibility was to summon people back into a relationship with God, who would combat deceit with truth, who would combat evil with that which is good, with that which is wrong, they would combat with that which is right. And so, but in this lying, deceitful, refusing to hear the word of God community, they would say, shut up. Stop telling us the things that God has to say in His word. We don't want to hear it anymore. And there is such a tremendous effort that is underway to silence the church and say, if you are dealing with anything outside of the church, you are missing the mark. Let me tell you my take on that. What takes place in the heart of a man it's going to be impossible to conceal that wherever they go. The reason that we're having this growth workshop at the end of August is because we want to help you be the best that you can be in your home, in your church, at your work, and in your community. And so this is what they want to hear. Listen to what it says. Because they say, we don't want to hear this. This is what we want to hear. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Tell us the things that make us feel good about ourselves. Can I tell you something? The word of God offends my flesh at times. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. Because God is only opposing those on the path of destruction to get them off of the path so that they would get on the way that they should go. And so far be it from us if we ever deteriorate into just proclaiming the things to others that they want to hear. I have been in the position where people told me what I wanted to hear, not what I needed to hear, and it was very, very painful to walk through. And so let's not be people who just fall in line and do what everybody else is doing and proclaim the same lies. Listen to what verse 14 says. This is just amazing. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And folks, that's what I really see is going on in America right now, is that, in fact, I have it written here, that this is a current representation of where the United States is right now. They want Christians out of the way. They want us marginalized. They want us. They don't even want to see us on the path. They don't want to hear about us. They don't even want to know that we exist. And they want to cause the presence of God to cease to be known in their day and time. Now, I want to ask you this. What entity in existence would benefit the most if God ceased to be known in a society? Would that not be the devil? Would that not be a satanic plot? I believe that it is. And I believe that if that's what the devil's plan is, that God's got a better plan in store, and that is he wants us to proclaim the truth in love. I pray that you and I, that we would not cave to the pressure, that we would not be so discouraged that we shut our mouths and stop telling people the truth. Instead, we would be helping them to grow in their faith and grow in their understanding to realize we can't make it without God. Father, may we be a mouthpiece in this day and time to communicate truth. God, lead us into truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. I say me from those things that might distract me. Please take him away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? With my one thing, you're my one thing.